You're listening to Rust Belt Running.
Running is what makes me realize that, like, I'm a human being who is worth something.
That is not a good measurement of my value as a human.
We get between 8 and 10,000 additional comments, and I read every one of them.
So you had to run Sand Run for your first. You become race director and take it out.
it's got to be old guy naked in the locker room.
I get to spend time with my friend Adam. I get to do something with my friend.
Right now, I'm not thinking much beyond what I'm going to be drinking next week at this time.
Coleslaw on a taco is not taco, it's barbecue.
And so we'll be discussing tonight with some occasional swear words from Andrew because he's upset, and that's okay.
I know him as the biggest Kid Rock fan around.
You rap that.
Oh, dear God.
You're listening to Rust Belt Running. I'm Adam Wheeler. You can find me on social media at Wheels Up in CLE. Joined as I always am by Andrew Hettinger. You can find him on social media at Andrew Runs a Lot. If you want to find the podcast on social media, you can find us at Rust Belt Running.
Before we go any further, let's take a quick break to tell you a little bit about what we do with run coaching. Adam, why don't you tell us about it?
It's personalized run coaching. It takes into account the schedule that you have to get your runs in, the goals that you have, as well as the base that you come to us with. You talk to us about what it is you want to be doing, the time that you have to do it, and we come up with a personalized plan that fits your needs, works on you towards your goals, and helps provide a bird's eye view on your training to make sure that you don't plateau, to make sure that you're doing the correct training that's appropriate for you, and to get you showing up on race day confidence that you're going to be ready to hit your race goals.
So to learn more about how we can help you hit your race goals, go to rustbeltrunning.com. There you can find out about our different levels and coaching, find out more about us as runners and coaches, or you can support the show with buying merch, a sweatshirt, a patch that you can iron on to your singlet for that race that you're running soon. Maybe you don't want people knowing that you listen to us, but regardless, support the show. But for now, sit back and enjoy the rest of this episode.
Andrew, how are you doing? Happy New Year, bud.
Yeah, man, I'm fantastic. I'm good. How about you?
I'm good too. Ready to tackle another year. Can't believe it's another year.
Yeah, we got on our last episode we talked about some of the races we're going to be doing.
Yep.
And this is going to be an exciting 2023, and I'm really looking forward to, you know, going after some things that are pretty audacious.
Mm-hmm.
But also trying to keep it realistic. And we're going to talk a lot today about goal setting because, you know, in a new year, that is, you know, you and I were talking before we came on. It's, you know, we get a new calendar. There's something kind of refreshing about that.
Yeah.
You get a clean slate. It's like when you have your new backpack and notebooks and all that stuff for the school year when you were a kid, and you're like, this year's going to be different. And, you know, but how do we go from like, this year's going to be different to actually making it different? And that's kind of what we want to do. Cause I know for me in school, I would end up like 2-3 weeks later, I stopped doing my homework. I started cutting classes again. My backpack wasn't organized anymore. It didn't take long for me to get back there. So how do we avoid those pitfalls? And, you know, some of that is going to be in the goal setting because, you know, you want things to be attainable. So what are some of your kind of opening thoughts?
Well, it's a really good place to start with just talking about, like, you know, how do you make things different? Because there is that fresh page sort of feeling that you have when you start a new year. You'll see a lot of people set new goals around either the new year, New Year's resolutions, or around a birthday, maybe the first of the month. And there's a lot of research on why that's the case. And it's the label for it's called a temporal landmark. And it's just basically something that your brain can go back to and say, like, oh, yeah, on the first of the year, I decided to do this. And what's good about it is that it gives you this landmark, this benchmark that you can look back on and say, like, this is where it was supposed to be different. What happens, though, is there's a lot of motivation built around that. It's, you know, you and I have talked about going to the gym. The gym is going to be packed this time of year because everybody's got their resolution to work out more, to lose weight, and they're really, really motivated to do it. And then you start to see those crowds wane as you get through into January, you trickle into February. And the reason that things start to wane there is that the motivation wanes. And what people haven't done is thought about, how do I make this a daily thing? How do I make this a regular thing where I still want to do it, even when the motivation's not there? You know, it's winter, it's going to be cold, and there's going to be days where you get out of bed, you look outside, and you're like, I really don't want to go out to my car to drive to the gym today. It's windy, it's cold, I could just stay here in my nice warm house and not be bothered with it. And that's where habits that you're trying to build get interrupted, and then you don't keep up with them. You miss a couple of days and you start to remember, like, oh, it's really comfy. I really don't want to go out now. And so that momentum that you've built up starts to flag, and then there's really, you don't have the habit really concretely built in yet to where you'll keep doing it. And so that's where it's good to know about these things, because what you want to do when you start setting your goals is you want to set the goal of, like, I want to, you know, work out 5 times a week, or I want to lose 15 pounds. You really want to set the goal of, I want to do the sort of process that's going to get me there. I'm going to commit to getting out of the house to get to the gym, even when it gets hard, because that's really the work that you need to do. Not focus so much on the outcome, but focus on the daily ritual, the daily habit of getting to the eventual outcome that you want to get to.
Yeah, kind of what you're talking about kind of reminds me a little bit. In 2020, we talked about a lot of different things, but
yeah,
you know, we kind of came up with the motto, rebuilding your house.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a little bit of what you're talking about. What you're talking about right there is, you know, that real foundation building. Nothing that is going to be sexy.
No.
You know, it's not when you're talking about goals, say, I want to qualify for Boston. That's not what you're talking about right now. Like, it's because there's so much that has to take place, and so much that has to be laid, all the brick and mortar that has to be poured, but before you can really even realistically think about goals like PRs or Ironmans or tries, whatever it might be, whatever the crazy goal is that you're thinking about. You got to lay the foundation. You got to do the unsexy, you know, skilled labor union work. At some point, and then we can get to the dressing and the fun designer parts of of goal setting and training. But yeah, I think, you know, it's the, when we talked on our last episode, I kind of brought up that the running calendar is, you know, the year is more like January to October.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's kind of what it's become with how much everybody despises training. I mean, we have beat that horse to death, brought it back to life, and beat it to death again. Like, we know how much we hate training for spring races. But, you know, it's where a lot of the it's where a lot of that foundation and that strength is going to be built to give you the chance to tackle something a little more crazy and high in, you know, the fall months. So I think that's a good place for us to start, is just that foundational part. So I, you know, when we've talked a little bit about me not smoking too, and how I've, you know, I quit that, and I brought up our friend Mark Matthews' book, and how his book You Are Not a Rock, and how much that helped me. And I think that's something real important in the new year, is the piece that helped me the most that I use in my own training, and, you know, I'll be using with athletes, is the idea of your time and your ideal time inventory. Mm-hmm. Like, what do you want your day to look like?
Yeah.
Because that really allows you to, you know, make those conscious decisions of, you know, okay, I don't need to sit at home and drink a bottle of wine tonight. You know, there's times where that happens. I mean, when we had that ridiculously cold weather right before Christmas,
it was awful.
I drank an entire bottle of wine one of those days, maybe two of them. I don't know, because we're actually recording on the second one of them.
That's true.
That's our little secret. Merry Christmas, Adam.
Oh, thanks. You too, Andrew.
But yeah, I think, I think that, like, when you can have that ideal time inventory, you're able to make that conscious decision of, you know, okay, if I want to do this, my time has to be separated, you know, I have work, I have kids, I have this, I need to run or work out and do this. I don't have time for Q, R, and S because I have all these other letters I have to take care of. Yeah. And, you know, it allows you to structure your day to something that, you know, you got to make it work for you. And that has to really be, I guess, the first goal. This really went a different direction than I thought it would with how you started it, but I like it.
Good. I've got kind of a nice thing to follow up on there. You know, talking about that ideal time inventory, you know, something that you have to do when you do that kind of work is be really brutally honest with yourself about what's realistic. There's nothing wrong with having, you know, these, a big sort of like, in an ideal world, this is what my time would look like. But anyone listening to this knows that, like, what you set out to try to get done versus what actually gets done just because life gets in the way are two different things. And so what you have to do when you start to create something like an ideal time inventory, when you're setting a big goal, you talked about like wanting to qualify for Boston before, is recognize that you have these ideal things you're trying to build towards, but you do have to be realistic about how hard it is going to be to get there. There's going to be obstacles that get in your way as you're pursuing that, and that you set for yourself then, you know, manageable tasks, because that's where, you know, I think when we talk about goal setting, I talked about initially like those temporal landmarks and how there's that real big energy when you're setting out to go after that goal. And then when you've got that ideal you're building towards and those obstacles start to pile up, it becomes really easy to get discouraged and go like, oh, shoot. And that's why it's good to have that distant, far off sort of stretch goal that's down the road. But you want to make sure that you're realistic about what it's going to take to get you there, and the resilience that you're going to need to have to deal with the obstacles that are going to pop up in your way. Because, I mean, you and I have both seen it with our running individually. Things happen that you don't have any control over. And the question then is, how do you respond to them? Because it's really going to be the daily work and your ability to respond to the kinks within the daily work that gets you to that. They get you closer to that ideal goal that's down the road that you maybe don't necessarily have a true time period on because you just don't know when it's going to happen.
I want to real quick, everybody should go back and listen. Episode 102 of ours is our Have Feelings episode with Mark Freeman. It's the episode we did in 2021. And we really went through and talked a lot about how that book could relate to running. We had another episode with him previously, but I thought that one was even more impactful being, you know, like the vaccine was rolling out. There was a little more hope. It felt like there were a lot more that we could, like, you know, work towards. There was some happy melancholy in that episode that I thought was really, like just really appropriate in that time. But I think it just worked really well for running, and you know that episode's really what got me to want to quit smoking.
That was like a month or so before you told me.
I wanted to quit for a very, very long time. I couldn't. Mm-hmm. That episode, he gave me the tools to do it in that book. And that book is about different compulsions and dealing with OCD, you know, and other, you know, mental fitness that we, you know, may lack and struggle with. But, you know, in dealing with all of that stuff, there are a lot of tools that can absolutely be applied to runners. And, you know, to people in the fitness world. I mean, and the time inventory is part of it, but there's so much that can be taken out of it. I mean, Mark himself is very active and into fitness and has a tremendous beard. And
he does. It's well done, Mark.
His beard is on point. I comment to him all the time. Whenever, like, sometimes when he posts a selfie of himself in his story, I'll always just be like, nice beard. And he would just say, thank you. And there was, like, a six-month period where our entire message thread on Instagram is just me saying nice beard and him saying thank you. And then one time he ruined it by like sending some laughing crying emojis or something, and I was like, no. But Mark's just one of the good dudes, but I definitely recommend going back episode 102, check that out, and check out his book, You Are Not a Rock. Very impromptu plug for that book, but that's a I mean, I will say that's probably the most impactful book I've on my life. And I have one very, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know, impactful moment in my life where I quit smoking. I have that I can point to, to show it. But yeah, that's a book I recommend everybody read. You Are Not a Rock by Mark Freeman. And it's a good follow on Instagram too.
He is. And just a very great, he's just a good dude. Mark is just a great guy.
Well, and you had brought something up that what made me even think about going back to that last episode was the Velociraptors. You didn't call them Velociraptors a minute ago when you were talking, but, you know, kind of, how do you deal with them? How do you deal with the when you're on a hike and a Velociraptor comes out of nowhere?
Right.
You know, how are you prepared to deal with it? And I think that's, you know, that's something his book did for me. It's helped me learn to prepare for them. But, you know, I think just following him and becoming friends with him over the years too, that helps as well.
You know, and I think something that book does, the whole premise of his book is that, you know, we talk about physical fitness and people work on physical fitness, you know, on a regular basis. And, you know, the way he pitches his book is you hopefully wouldn't wait to have a heart attack before you work on physical fitness. And yet a lot of people do that with their mental fitness. They wait until they've had a breakdown or something before they start worrying about their mental health. And his idea really is that you should be working on your mental health on a daily basis in the same way you would work on your physical health. And I think when you relate this to things like goal setting and the different roadblocks and obstacles that life throws up, we all have built in, you know, basically sort of like thinking habit loops and feeling habit loops where, you know, you set this big goal at the start of the year and you start working towards it and you start making some progress and it's like, oh yeah, I feel really, really good. And then something happens, you know, life gets in the way, you get sick, maybe you just start to plateau a little bit. And a lot of people start to feel bad about it. They start to doubt themselves. They start to get frustrated by the lack of progress. And there's a lot of different things that can cause that that might not be anything you're doing wrong, but it's that reality versus expectations issue that you start to deal with. And having a better handle on sort of how your own brain handles those situations and being able to have a roadmap, which is what he provides to start doing the work to break through them, is how you get from where you were to where you really want to go and handle the really tough times that come up as you're on that road. And that book is just a perfect roadmap to get there for it.
Well, and I think the analogy of a roadmap in general is perfect, you know, or in the case of rebuilding your house blueprints, you know, you do have to, you know, at the beginning of the year, you have to, you know, when we're talking about some of these, you know, foundational steps, you do have to have like the big goal in mind. Like what's kind of the end result? What am I looking at? What am I looking for? And but it has to be realistic, all the same, but it has to be adaptable. As well, because things come up. I mean, let's talk about my last year, which we've done a bajillion times. But I mean, every other week, it seems something came up that required a. I mean, I told you if I run 135 at Pittsburgh on almost no training, I'm going to break 3 hours. Like, that's what I told you. But that obviously, when things came up, and the timing of the things was awful too. It was like, okay, well, that's not going to happen. That goal needs to be adjusted. Like you have to have that adaptability, and that's where, you know, the bonus goals that we talk a lot about. I think, you know, that you have to assign I did a call with a new client a couple weeks ago, and it was our, it was really the first time that I've done a call with somebody I really have almost no rapport with, at least from like understanding their running. Many of the other people are people that we follow on, you know, social media or have listened to the podcast, stuff like that. So we understand a little more about their running journeys. But to like, really sit there and like to see this person set lofty bonus goals and to kind of be on the same page with them as it came out of her mouth. It's like, yes, let's go. But we have a long way to go. So we understand that goal right now, that's what we want to work towards. You want to set your sights on something down the road. while you're building the foundation. Because if the foundation isn't big enough, you can't put a big house on a small foundation. It's got to all be right sized together.
Yeah.
Or it's just going to topple over. Everything has to be built in accordance with one another, and that's where you got to have these plans set at the beginning of the year. But yeah, to see these big goals set, that can be adaptable, and hopefully we can move them in a more positive direction. Maybe those goals aren't lofty enough, but we have a foundation set, we have the blueprint drawn that allows us to, hopefully tackle something else. But you have to be adaptable when those, as Mark Freeman calls them, velociraptors come out. Or else you're going to get down on yourself if you're not adaptable, and things are just going to spiral out of control quickly.
Well, and talking about getting down on yourself, I think it's important to really focus your happiness, the good feelings you have, on the work that you're doing towards your goal and that being enough, as opposed to, like, I'll be enough once I hit my actual goal. I just heard a really good story about NBA Hall of Famer Ray Allen, who was traded to the Boston Celtics. It was a little bit later in his career when he and Garnett and Pierce all ended up together in Boston. And that first year they were together, they won a title. That was Ray Allen's first NBA title. And the story goes that the worst day of his life, he says the worst day of his life was the day after he won that title. And it was because he'd spent so much of his career believing that he would be enough once he won that title.
Yeah.
And he woke up the next day and it was like, I don't feel like that. Like, I won and I don't feel any difference. And this day of arrival had come and he didn't feel like he had arrived. And he eventually was able to work through why that was, and it was okay. But he put so much effort, and the guy's a Hall of Famer, and he was renowned for his work ethic, for being a guy who got off shots every day at practice, like just was a constant worker working on his craft as one of the best three-point shooters in the history of the game. So doing the work was not a problem. This was not a guy who skated by. But he had just spent so much of his mental energy focusing on the idea of, once I arrive, I'll be enough. That's when I'll be happy. That once he got there and discovered it wasn't, there was this sort of like crisis of identity because it wasn't enough for him anymore. So, I've talked a little bit about, we talked on our last episode that I'd had a bit of a mindset shift that occurred during COVID, to where I had worried that assuming that I eventually got into the Boston Marathon, I'd worried that once I got there, I was going to have this like, okay, well, I've gotten there, now what? Am I even going to love doing this anymore? And it was stepping away from running during COVID when races weren't going on, where I sort of, we talked about this with Mark, where I went hiking and realized with hiking, like, there's no end goal with hiking. You just show up at a trailhead and walk and enjoy the experience. And when I reconnected then with running in early 2021, I was just enjoying the act of running again. And I happened to still be good at it, and I was able to get to where I wanted to go, and now I'm training for Boston. But that didn't happen to me, but it happened in part because I had reconfigured what my goals were for running, to where it was no longer like, I'll be enough as a runner once I get into the Boston Marathon. I was already enough as a runner. I was enjoying just doing the work. And this is just a cherry on top now, and I'm going to enjoy that experience. So think about that too, because there's a lot of, once I can do this, I'll be enough. And there's a trap there if you do that.
Well, and I think, you brought up something that I kind of thought about a little bit when I was doing this training back for Columbus. There's goals within training as well. Mm-hmm. It's not just the race day goal. So there's goals within training. Some of it's arbitrary. Like I made sure that I got a couple extra miles in here and there towards the end of September because I wanted to hit 200 miles. Like I did. And especially after everything else, it's like, if I can hit 200, I'll be really happy. And so I was, I didn't do anything ill-advised, but I made sure that it happened. Making sure, if you have a number of, we all miss workouts from time to time. Sometimes it's a lack of motivation or something else, but having a number that's, okay, I'm not going to miss more than 4 workouts this month or whatever it might be. You know, to one, you're giving yourself some grace. You're giving yourself some room for error, some room to live and give yourself life that you might need. But also you're giving yourself something within the training to work towards.
Yeah.
That is, you know, because, I mean, if you're just focused on something that's 16 weeks out, that's like 60, 70 workouts, maybe more than that. I'm really awful at math. But that's a lot. I mean, you might be one day you're getting 1.5% closer to your goal. That's a lot to look at. And so if you can give yourself those smaller things within training, I'm going to hit everything this week. I'm going to hit, you know, whatever it may be. Find those little goals that you can set yourself, in each workout, in each week of training, as you go towards the larger goal. Because if you take it bit by bit, you can get there.
That's the art of training too, that, you know, going back to what we talked about really at the very beginning of this, handling those setbacks that you encounter as you start to push towards a new goal. It's not just the act of getting to the start line and, you know, being ready for the race that you're going to run. It's also the act of becoming better at training, becoming better at managing your time. You know, when we were training Sarah Hoover last year, getting her ready for Columbus, she put together a really solid training cycle and she had a really lofty goal. And, you know, any number of things kind of came together on her race day that kept her from getting to where she wanted to go. And she was really disappointed in it. But then we got done with the race and we kind of talked a little bit later. And, you know, there's some physical things that really didn't pop up until very late in training that affected her that she's gone to see Bethany for, which has helped her. But there, you know, she also talked to me about, you know, I kind of see now that I've got to be able to get in my runs religiously towards the end of training, that, you know, that kind of didn't happen maybe as much as it needed to. And she recognized that. I think her words were like, my fitness wasn't exactly where I needed to be. But the thing about Sarah was that was really the first true, like, coached race training cycle she'd ever gone through. She'd run a lot of races before, but it was always just, she ran for fun. That was her happy place. She got in so many miles a week and it wasn't the sort of mileage it was going to get a very fast race out of her, but it got her to the start line and got her through. But this was her first time really encountering this type of training, and it's a totally different animal. And so part of what she got out of that wasn't just the fitness to get her to the start line, it was the understanding of, oh, this is the demand of a training cycle, and this is how I need to take these lessons and use it for the next training cycle. And that's just that art of, you know, you go through it and you learn some things and you apply them, and now next time she's better positioned for handling that next race training cycle when she chases that next marathon.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, we've kind of talked about, you know, setting the goals, but you got to have, you know, again, to give yourself grace, because I think it's one thing that we just don't do enough of. You know, I brought up the term bonus goal, but we've talked a lot about how we set our goals. I mean, when I go into a race or a training segment, I do this with our athletes, like during our intakes and, you know, recaps and stuff, you know, I want to make sure that we have 4 or 5 goals set for one race, not 4 or 5 goals set throughout training that we want to hit. No, we have a tier of goals that we want to set because I want to, I want to have something to fall back on. You know, Sam Smith talked about it when we had her on, a couple weeks ago. How, you know, that really setting her goals like that. And she's not an athlete of ours. She just kind of got that from listening to us. But she set her goals at Columbus kind of that way. And when her ultimate goal, her bonus goal, that if everything is perfect, absolutely perfect, goal, when that started to fall out, she, you know, things got tough on her and she called a friend from the course, but then she kind of remembered, no, I think I can still go get this, and that's important. You have to be able to do that, because if not, the wheels are going to fall off. And when I've had the wheels fall off during a marathon, and that those miles when you're like run, walking, stretching, just die. I mean, they feel like they're never going to end. And you don't know why you do it. And I actually, I look back on some races and I'm like, why did I register for another one after that? Like, I'm so glad I did. But, like, it was such a miserable experience that I don't understand. And, like, almost so miserable it's not rewarding.
Right.
You know, like, and you're just so glad to be finished. I mean, that, I told you, we went out last week for our monthly RBR dinner. And I told you that, you know, Columbus kind of felt like my first marathon all over again, and that it was just like crazy special. And you kind of asked me why, but, you know, and a big part of it was how I felt through that finish. I've never finished that strong.
Yeah.
And so much of it was because when things did get a little tough and the wheels were close to falling off, it was, no, you're not getting 305, but guess what? You can do other amazing things.
Yeah.
Despite not getting that. And to be able to, you know, have that track in my head, that was huge. Because I took some chances. I tried to surge and get back to, you know, 305 pace. When it wasn't there, it was like, okay, well, I'm happy I tried again. Let's just settle in here, you know? And
yeah.
That's such a different mindset than, oh, well, I guess I'm not going to get that today. I mean, I could have gone and run a 314 because I didn't have, dude, if you hit 307, that's still fucking large. Like, to be able to tell myself that, instead of, oh, I didn't get the goal I came here for. Like, I was crapping my brains out 48 hours before. I should have some grace. Like, you need to give yourself that. And yeah, having multiple goals, a goal, like 307 was really that a goal. This is where I should be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a B goal of, yeah, which would have been 310 for me because I really wanted to go to Chicago.
Yeah.
And then a C goal, which would have been, if I PR, I'm happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's still going to be my fastest full. You can't be upset with a PR. So, I had a lot of wiggle room there, which I think is just so important. And that's how, as we start this new year, and you're looking at your goals for the spring, for the fall, you know, are you setting goals that are audacious, but not too audacious? Realistically crazy. Unless you're Matt Martin, and then you can just set whatever goal you want. Or just have no goal and go PR the Boston Marathon.
Dude's built different.
Yeah. Did you see that run he had during this stupid cold weather?
Man, he really wants that Eagle Up record.
But yeah, you know, setting a goal that's audacious and a little crazy, but, you know, then giving yourself, finding out where you should be, you know, I think that needs to be the A goal. Where should you be? What do all signs realistically point to?
Yeah.
And then, you know, that B goal that's, I got some missteps here. What's that look like? And then your final, I'm going to be happy if, and you don't have to stop at C. You can go all the way down to M if you want to.
Yeah.
You know, that's just more room you have for success. So I've said what I want on goals. You got anything to kind of close us out with?
You know, I think the last thing that I would say, you know, talking about, you know, setting those goals and having those tiered goals and the perspective built around them is that, you know, when you're training for a race, when you're in the thick of a cycle, you really have to, you narrow your focus down because that's what you're building towards.
Yeah.
What's important then when you're done with it, regardless of how you feel about how things went and how it relates to your tiered goals, is you then have to be able to step back and zoom out. I think a lot of the ability to really handle those setbacks comes down to that ability to alter your perspective on things, to be able to zoom in and then zoom out. Because at the end of the day, whatever training that you've done, good or bad, when you zoom out and put it into a larger time scale, you know, look at it in terms of like, well, how did I grow from this time last year? Or mm-hmm. how did I, you know, what can I take from this and what can I use from it that I can apply to a race that I'm going to be doing in the fall or a race that I'll be doing next year. All that work matters. It's really easy to, especially if you start having to start ticking down those tiered goals to where it didn't go exactly the way that you wanted. It's really easy to look at that and be like, man, did I really get out of this what I wanted to? And maybe you didn't get exactly what you wanted to, but you're still going to have gotten a lot of useful information, a lot of knowledge about yourself, a lot of great training that you can apply down the road. And so just having that, you've talked a lot about grace, and that's so important, that grace to just be able to be okay with how your race went, but then step back, give yourself that wide angle view, and you'll start to see how that work can be used and utilized to make you a better runner down the road. And I think that's where, you know, you and I, when we had Sam Smith on, we talked about how we're coaches and neither one of us has ever been coached. And so much of what we know now is that we have over a decade each of running experience. We've had a lot of hard knocks along the way. Right. And so much of what we preach to our clients now is, listen, we made these mistakes. We made them, so now you don't have to make them. You know, we will give you some of the perspective that we bring to this. And I think a lot of that perspective is just when you can take one cycle of one race and plug it into 13, 10 years of running, you start to see how all these things play out down the road.
Yep. I love that you asked the question, and maybe this kind of needs to be our question we're asking ourselves a lot. How did I grow? You know, I think that's, you know, there, because there are, you know, going back to my Columbus training last year, there were, you know, when you start to hit the, you know, early September, when you're starting to hit the like later points of training, you're really starting to fatigue, but it's still really hot. There was one day at the track. I remember I set out, I think I was doing, might have been doing a ladder or something, but I got through maybe my second 400 of it or something. And I was like, no, speed work ain't happening today. Like it was just that the heat was just too much that day. I didn't complain about the heat. I did not complain about it, but I, you know, I just, I called off the speed work and I just did easy miles to fill out the mileage. And, you know, but that's one of those moments where it's like I can look back and say, how did I grow? I stuck with the mileage. Like I got in work, despite being beat by the heat that day. I got the work in, you know, so I can sit there and legitimately ask myself, how did I grow through a workout where that would be deemed a failure by a lot of people in the running community because I didn't hit my intervals for the day.
Right.
But no, I still stuck there and, you know, put in mileage. I ran around in a grassy meadow with Matt Martin's wife, Steffi. And, you know, we did some easy mileage to, you know, just have a decent day. How did I grow? I put in work. It wasn't the prescribed work, but I put in work. And, you know, I think that you can look at, you can ask yourself, how did I grow in training, in racing, in how are you sleeping? You know, there's so many different ways, that you can ask yourself, how did I grow? That's, I like that. Thanks for posing that question somewhat hypothetically today.
Oh, you're welcome, bud.
I'm gonna use that one.
Sometimes it just happens organically on this podcast.
It does. It does. Well, we're gonna grow a lot this year, I think. So I'm really looking forward to it. I'm excited to see what the future holds. We have some goals for ourselves, and you know, we're excited to go down the road with our listeners, with our athletes and friends and followers and all that stuff. We're excited to go down that road with y'all and see how y'all grow too. So,
absolutely.
Adam, until next week, we're gonna get back to at least mostly weekly this year, one way or the other.
We are, yeah. Morning. There's a goal we've set for ourselves.
Yeah, there. But see, it's simple. We're gonna try to do this mostly weekly again. Like I'm even gonna throw that mostly qualifier on there to make it more realistic. To give us some grace. So to the new year, let's grow well, and enjoy your miles, everybody.